You are listening to The Unlabel It Effect. We gather here on the first day of each month to explore all things mental health. Let us be part of your support system to inspire and motivate you to take care of your well-being. We, Vivian, Rita, and myself, Melody, welcome you to our UE community. We want to actually have a little convo on...
You want to.
I want to. I initiated it. I want us to basically translate our journal into... Or the daily journal practice that we usually do privately and try to make it into this episode. Mainly talk about 2024, our goals for this year, what we want to achieve, or I guess how we want to feel in 2024. Mm. Because usually I would do a yearly reflection. It's such a cliche, which a lot of people probably do and don't want to admit. But yeah. I do it towards the end of each year to just kind of review and look back on the list of things that I wanted to do for 2023 and then set new goals for 2024. And in the past years, every time... I would realize that there would be tasks that I've never even started on.
Yeah.
I don't know with you guys, but...
That's why I don't like it. I don't set goals, which is a bad thing, I think. And when I reflect, I just reflect on what happened.
Do you come up with a thing that you want to stick by throughout the year?
No.
Right.
Because I feel like it gives me stress.
Right, okay.
It's like, oh, I don't want to, like... Oh.
Yeah, but for me, it's like, because you know I'm a calendar girl. Like, I'm obsessed with... It's not that I'm obsessed with a calendar, but I need my calendar to help me to maintain a certain structure in my life. And that's why when I actually list out the goals that I want to do, what I would do is usually put in certain time slot in my calendar, maybe for the next 6 months or the next... 3 months to 3 to 6 months. And then so that is a little reminder for me to say, oh, okay, I need to maybe start on this project or start looking at certain things or do certain research on certain areas. It's just like a little reminder. But for me, I don't put so much pressure if I've started on one task, but I didn't finish it. It's okay. But for me, it's like I've made a start. But I think...
What are some of the examples? And don't move too much. Your mic is... Yeah.
Okay. One thing would be maybe start brainstorming different business or entrepreneurial ideas.
Okay.
For my future self.
But why is it a goal? It's not a to-do list.
It is a to-do list in a way.
But why would you want to, like, okay, in 2023, I want to start brainstorming ideas. Is that the example? Or
is that you want to put time aside to do things that you have never...
Yeah, it's more that I want to... Because now it's almost like, okay, new year. I have a fresh new blank calendar. Right. How do I want to use my time?
Yeah.
And I think having that reflection time would allow me to plan ahead, like very in advance of 2024. But I don't have a lot of pressure on myself if I don't finish it. But it is a good way to kind of... tell myself, oh, okay, like, what do I want to do that's new this year? Or what do I want to do better this year?
I remember I only had one rule that I set for in the beginning of 2023. It was say more yeses. That's just
the rule. Burned you out.
Exactly. But it also gave me so many growth and experience, though.
Yeah. Everything has two sides.
Exactly. I feel like once I burn out, I feel like I actually pushed it a little bit too much, but then it, like on the flip side of it, I gained so many new experiences. Like I said yes to joining women rugby club at uni, and I was like,
that was a big one.
Yeah, I was like at the age of 28, like literally no one learns how to play rugby at my age. They either start really early or they don't start at all. And I was like, I'm at 28 and I'm brand new to rugby. Like here I am. Yeah, so I did that. And I said yes to learn scuba diving. I was really scared of like going under the sea and listening to all the horrible stories of, you know, bursting and rupturing of lung. But I said yes, and it just opened my eyes to look at all the sea creatures and, you know, species under the water. It was just so good. And I also did say yes to one of the really scary conference. I was one of the panelists.
Yes, I remember.
I was so proud.
I was like, the professor just walked by saying that Rita want to be on the panel. I was like, And then that motto came up. Say more yeses to this year. I was like, all right, yes. Once I were there, I was the only student on the stage.
Oh my gosh.
Other panelists were like professors. I was like, why the heck did I say yes? But it was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It pushed you a little forward.
Yeah, out of my comfort zone. Mm. And I feel like my comfort zone is expanding because of that.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, we talked about this before. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I just think it's like different people have different ways of, I think your way is more like very clear, one big goal that you want to do.
Yeah.
And I am definitely slowly growing to understanding why, and I think it's actually better to have less but more in depth of what you want to do. And as you said, it's not necessarily like this year.
Yeah.
The limit is not really just within this year that I need to finish it. Yes. It's more like it's,
you put it there, you plant a seed.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. I remember earlier this year when I was working on my side project, I told myself I don't want to do it in fear anymore. Like I would push myself to do stuff, but then I'll be like, you know, like it's just like putting your foot in the water, but then you're like, but then after therapy, after having a new, being in a new relationship, it really forced me to look at myself, and that really changed how I see the project.
Like, what do you think was the biggest moment that you kind of let go of that fear?
It was not even in therapy. It was early on, and then I got triggered, and then I think I was at home alone. I was drinking a glass of wine, and then I got very emotional, and then I was just like half crying, half meditating. And then it brought me, like, in my head, like it already happened a few times back when I was dating someone else, but then my mind would like dig up memories. I think our brain is really brilliant. And then it brought me back to the first time ever in my life that I felt small and humiliated. And I think after like remembering that, that feeling inferior and small, and then I was like, wow, like I started my label out of fear. I switched jobs out of fear. I said yes to jobs before because of fear. And I was just living in fear. So like that was like an aha night. Like it's like, woo. And then I felt so much lighter. I'm not saying that that voice is not here anymore, but then I really know that I noticed a big shift in my mindset. That's
and good. To be honest, I think a lot of people do live
in fear.
Yeah. Under a lot of, I think a lot of people are so scared to instability, you know?
So scared what?
So scared of being in a very unstable environment. And I think it's almost like because that puts you in a fight or flight mode.
Yeah,
and it's a natural thing. And that's why when you said, oh, the biggest thing that you feel like you are overcoming or growing to be able to manage that fear, it's something that I resonate with.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, I think regardless of everyone's background, everyone definitely has certain fear in their life. Like there's so many fears in the reality, like, financial is a very basic one because most people need a certain income or a foundation to be able to have a certain standard of living. It's not really whether you have a nice apartment or not, but it's just having a shelter, right? Especially being in Hong Kong, it's very expensive as a city to live in. And then family stability. Not everyone has a perfect family. Relationship stability, friendship, romantic relationship, everything. And then maybe even like your work environment. Some people would have a really toxic work environment. They have to survive in that, right? So a lot of people face fear all the time. And it's whether or not they are conscious enough like you to realize that, holy shit, like I am living in fear all the time.
And that makes you feel like you do stuff because you should do stuff. It's not like you get to do things. That mindset is so different.
I think the fact that a lot of people don't believe in themselves and they don't see their potential. That's what scares me. But speaking of fear, I think Mel also faced your biggest fear this year.
Yes.
Which is your parents.
Yeah. I think it's the fear of not having a stable or a complete family. Yeah. As both of my parents have been experiencing like health issues this year as they're getting older, which is something that, to be honest, I should be expecting it because yeah. I am also growing up a lot. So I can't expect them to just stay at the same age while I'm growing up and gaining more wisdom, gaining more perspectives in life. And so I think it took me a while to kind of understand that the dynamic that I feel is normal because we're slowly taking different roles within the family and the power is shifting. So I'm now sitting here, especially in the past few weeks, I feel like I'm slowly understanding more of the dynamic. I think when unexpected things happen to my family members, which I dearly love, it really shocked me and my body. So I lost the balance completely. And I was just like, you know, I had a lot of fear and a lot of unexplained emotions that I didn't know how to break down. But then I think this year, going back to like how I want to really put all my energy and focus on, and this year I don't want to have a long list of things. I just want to have a few simple things to focus on this year. And one is, I think, the fear, like really facing, appreciating, and trying to make my fear to work with me.
Yeah,
I think this is something that I want to work on this year. I don't want it to limit my potential, but also for 2024, at least the year coming, I want to be able to live life a little bit more like outside of the box. Like with my job, I have a routine, but in the past few months, I've been overtiming a lot with my sister, just because I feel like the economy is changing a lot. And actually, it's obviously our family business, so I could not live in the 9-to-6 life anymore. I realized it. And thank God I had my sister as my partner that would overtime with me. Overtime can be good or bad, but this year or the past few months, I've realized that overtiming in my role means I can have a quiet space to think, to really think quietly. So I want to spend the next 6 months or a year to really work on my outside of the box experience. I want to explore a bit more of what I can do, like instead of just being in the office 9-to-6.
Kind of. How did you sort of face your fear this year with your parents? Like, I want to circle back a little bit because I think it's a huge step for you. And I'm not sure if you've ever and processed. Guys,
I've grown more white hair for sure.
I have two wrinkles. I got two like really short ones, and then I'm like, I'm not gonna pluck it. I'm
just, I kind of like it. I don't know. I think it's beautiful in a way, but at the same time, I was like, it's okay. It's a sign of aging. It's a sign of more wisdom. It's a sign of, you know, a girl turning into a lady.
So but your parents, how did you? You said like you were shocked in your body, but then how did you come to this place where you're like, okay, I sort out everything and then I'll just see how it goes?
I wouldn't say I've sorted out everything. I'm still like learning, but at the beginning, I have to say I was very lost. Like, I pretty much, I broke down one day and I was like, oh my God, holy shit. Like, there's so much emotions coming out of my body, like inside out. Like, my whole body was just like in shock. I was really sad. I was really lonely. I was really unhappy. I was just very, very, very lost, I would say.
Didn't know what to do.
Didn't know what to do. Didn't have any words to articulate any emotions that I felt. I was just crying the whole time, for the whole night. But then after that, I started writing it out. So I journaled and I journaled and I journaled. And I was trying to, I listed out all the emotions that at that moment that I could feel. So there was a whole 2 full pages of just descriptions of how I felt. And then I think I slowly saw the pattern of most of them were negative, or most of them were worries or fear.
Was it the unpredictability of the whole situation that makes you fearful?
I think because my parents have been such a strong support and foundation of my stability.
Yeah.
In life.
They are. They're your parents.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think knowing that they are unwell really shaken my foundation. And then I would think that, okay, in front of them, I need to make sure I'm the person who can support them. It's so silly. Even though I have so many other sisters, for some reason, I just felt natural and I have always been the person to take care of them. In terms of their health, their medical checks, anything that's to do with their wellness, I'm the only person that I'm extremely engaged and know. And that's why I feel like there's a massive, massive sense of responsibility that I hold within the family. Or maybe it's just me. Maybe I care too much, almost. But maybe all my other sisters do care, but I just care extra, extra more. And that added a lot of stress on me.
But then knowing that you are taking care of them, do you feel more empowered in a way? Like, you know, like, what meds are they taking?
No.
No?
No. That just made me feel safe, knowing that if we go to any emergency department, or, you know, or we need to see any doctors, I just know that I have the information in hand. But that doesn't make me feel more empowered. That just makes me
have certain feel control.
More if I'm not the person being with them,
yeah,
worse things would happen. So I just feel like there's a pressure. There's this pressure on me. Or maybe it's a pressure that I've put on myself in the past years.
Where do you think it came from?
I've always been particularly close with my dad, I think, among all of my other sisters. I think it's the connection that I have with my parents because I'm the youngest. So I think I'm very... maybe I over-worry sometimes as well. So I think it's just a natural dynamic that we've built within the family. So whenever my parents have any issues, I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? But I'm slowly learning that that fear and that over-worrying is not helping. But what I need is calm myself down and really get the things that need to be done, done.
Yeah.
I'm slowly shifting to that. One of my sisters is a lot more rational. So sometimes it's really good to have her there and just say, okay, this is not something that you can control, or there's not something more you can do, so just don't worry about those things. And I was like, okay, you're right, I need to, instead, while they're being taken care of, I need to focus on my job, my work, so that they don't need to worry about us at work. I think it's very different for me, just because I don't only live with my parents and spend the most time with my parents. I work with my parents. So they are my life.
Yeah,
they are my life. I see them every day. And when they're not around, it's different. So
that's it's really a sticky situation.
Yes. It really is. Yes. And I want to make sure I balance both sides. And I don't want it to affect any of my teammates. You know, it is my personal issues, my personal and family issues. I don't want them to think, why am I not performing? Or maybe why am I acting differently or performing differently at work? I want to make sure work is still professional. You know, it won't affect my team's morale. It won't affect my team's performance. So it's balancing a lot of things at once.
Sounds like a year.
It's been a very interesting year, not gonna lie. And I think I've grown a lot, like a lot. But there's still a lot more emotions that I'm yet to explore in the coming year. I think apart from the two things that I wanted to, you know, work on in 2024, I think it's really the last thing that I want. I don't want that many things to work on this year. I just want, you know, two lean. To three
Stay lean.
Lean big things that I want to work towards. The last thing I would, for me, would be to really understand how I feel inside. To be very, very clear and to accept and to surrender. Understand how I'm feeling. Because yeah. I think like simple emotions, we're now at a stage where I feel like we can all easily, if not easily, we know how to approach them. Mm. But for more complicating emotions, I'm not sure if I'm there yet. So yeah, I want to work on my emotional intelligence.
Mm. Yeah, that's really great. Actually, the project that I'm working on made me learn so many different emotions. And one of the concept is, you know, people say like there's primary and secondary emotions. Mm. For example, anger is always secondary. But then I learned another structure. Basically, it's saying that there's always the root of our a root layer of our emotions, but then it can manifest as different emotions. Mm. So, for example, sarcastic is being sarcastic is actually an emotion, but then it stems from hurt, and then it stems from sad. So actually, there's like a layer to it. So when people are being sarcastic, it's because they're actually hurt. So it's like how I understand people now. So that's interesting.
Which book did you learn it from? I don't remember. You said...
Oh, this is not the book. The book we talked about is Atlas of the Heart by Brené Brown. That one is also like amazing.
Yeah, because, I need to check that out.
Because she mentioned 87 different emotions and then she distinct the similar ones. Mm. For example, discourage and being... discouraged and disappointed, and there are two more, I think. And then she tells you the subtle difference between the two. Mm. So I think learning more emotions help you
better describe how you feel. I think that's a vocabulary bank that is so useful.
Yeah,
because you have to understand your emotion before you can do something about it.
Yeah. Oh, but at the same time, she also mentioned that it's a circle. Mm. So actually, what you think you're feeling also shape how you feel. So for example, if you're about to get on stage for your panel and you're nervous, you can say it out loud, I'm excited. And it'll actually change how you feel. So I think emotional intelligence is so underrated. Okay, so I need to share this, but then, you know, emotional intelligence, fun fact by Forbes, is that emotional intelligence decrease when you increase in your company hierarchy. So a lot of CEO doesn't have a high EQ. And I think people with 1 point higher in EQ earns $2,800 US dollars more a year, like an average. So there's like these kind of statistics really show like how emotional intelligence is so important, but nobody is talking about it. It's in my pitch, so I'm gonna tell you guys later. But
I wonder if this dynamic or this statistic will change, because I feel like more and more people are understanding the importance of emotional intelligence. But perhaps in the current situation, your statistic might still be very valid and very updated. But I'm just curious if maybe in the next 5 to 10 years, would this change?
Yeah, but like another statistics is really sad, actually, is that, you know, our wellness market is ever expanding. It's at its peak right now. But then people are getting sadder. So it's that we are missing something big here. That's what I think. So it's like all those, like, you know, sleep tracking, diet tracking, fitness app, me time, spas, meditation, sound bowl. I'm not saying that they don't serve something. Of course they do. But then I think there's something that we're not addressing. So it's about this. It's about community. It's about sense of belonging. So it doesn't matter if you don't have any friends. It doesn't matter if you work out every day, you meditate every day, you go to hikes or whatnot to explore. You won't have that, like... I don't know what you call the channel
or the space to
I think it's connect. Like you need to feel accepted by someone else. Yeah, I think it's a myth when people say like you have all the control. You have I think part of life is letting loose what you said, like letting go of that control and just focus on what you can control, which is be vulnerable, talk to people, be open.
And I think that's why it's important to really understand how you're feeling instead of running away from it. Because most people wouldn't even know how to tap into their emotions, right? And hopefully with UE, we can slowly share how we see or how we overcome emotions. And maybe one day we could inspire someone to think similarly, or, you know, just by listening to us can help them to resonate.
Yeah. I think the most important thing is that we are all the same.
Yes, 100%.
We're all connected. We're all...
All of our conditions are different. We're all so unique. But I'm sure there are things that we share in common, you know? But anyway, how do you
think... A little bit off topic. I'm so sorry. A little bit off topic.
How do you guys usually start your new year? Like, do you... So I'm a person that, you know, the typical, oh, is towards the end of 2023, like, let's look into 2024 and set my goals right. What about you two?
I think I'm gonna set another motto that I'm gonna live by in 2024. I have no idea.
Okay.
I still haven't made time to kind of reflect, to be honest. I think I'm gonna do it in the coming week. But I think 2023 has served me really well. I'm really happy.
There was a lot of changes as well.
Yeah.
But good changes.
Adapting as well. But I think one area that I really want to work on in 2024 is the feeling of guilt, I guess. I still feel an intense of guilt if I say no to people, or if I have said or sent a text that might be interpreted in different ways, I would overthink it over and over again.
You said no to me a couple times.
Yeah, and actually I felt bad about it.
You did send me follow-up message.
Exactly. Because it just keeps on looping in my head, and I was like, does another party gonna expect something from me, and am I fulfilling that?
Be selfish is your motto.
Yeah, I think I just have to, as you said, like, same mindset can be applied in my area. Control the controllables.
Yes,
you know, I did my part as a friend. If I have my schedule already set and I cannot fit you in, and it is what it is, I don't have to go above and beyond to fit in.
When you say no, do you give the other person the reason?
I guess I would communicate that, but I always think I don't do enough in soothing the emotion or giving them reassurance. I don't know how much is enough.
Because you like assurance, you need assurance. That's why you expect people want it as well, need it as well.
I think it is not for them, but for me to quiet my guilty mind. You know, I don't know what is enough to achieve a no in a polite way, or in a way that don't hurt people.
I suddenly remember when we went out when we were in high school, you were always guilty because your mom would be so worried.
Yeah.
She traumatized.
Yeah. May probably.
Auntie.
Yeah. So I think I really want to work on that, because I think I need to hold space for myself as well. I need my alone time. I need to slow down my pace by being alone in life. If I have to live a less hurried life, I need this for myself. But I just cannot say no without feeling that guilt.
Yeah. But every time you feel it, do you think that you're more mindful that you're feeling guilt?
I think so.
Or maybe
that's already progress.
Yeah. Though. And I also think I'm more authentic. I'm more in tune with what I want, and I'm trying to do it as much as possible now. As I mentioned in the previous episode, where I didn't feel myself in that reunion dinner, and I didn't feel like talking, and in the previous me, I would force myself to say something, to feel the silence, to feel the gap, and just made it less awkward. But this time around, I didn't say anything because I didn't feel like it.
Do you think your sense of guilt stems from, like, maybe self-worth or whatever? I'm not sure, just because I feel like you need to reassure yourself that people will respect you regardless whether it's a yes or no.
Yeah.
And then you won't have the guilt, like, because you obviously, if you can make it, you would go if that person respects you enough.
Or maybe it's similar to my negative self-belief. It's like, for example, if someone doesn't do anything, like a small thing that my boyfriend does, and I'll be like, you don't love me anymore. And then maybe when you don't say yes to me, you feel like you would give me the idea that you don't care about this friendship anymore.
Yeah.
So maybe there's similarity there.
100%.
Yeah.
That's why I do feel like I have low self-esteem. My psychologist said, like, you have really low self-esteem and you need to work on that.
Really
yeah.
low.
Yeah, low and low. With anxious mind. And now how he suggested to deal with like negative thoughts or belief, he said, like, try to focally say what's that belief is. Like, whether it could be like, you don't value this friendship or you don't pay effort anymore.
And then you know how bizarre.
Yeah. Is. And he would be like, find like evidence to support this belief.
Okay.
Has Vivian or any friend said something about it? Yeah. Has someone showed you that you don't value me? Did they tell you about this opinion, this piece of opinion? And if nothing actually supported this belief or hypothesis, meaning it's your negative belief, there's no root or evidence to it, and you can just discard it.
It's just a lot of self-talk, right?
Yeah.
I honestly think our minds are just full of self-talk.
Yeah.
I catch myself all the time, to be honest. Like,
when there's just thoughts, random.
Yeah. When I'm walking, I'm just like thinking, oh, like constantly.
Mastering your mind is so important.
Yeah.
Because I realized that our thoughts could be so powerful, but then we're using it wrong. Like, imagine it's all positive self-talk.
Not making it working for us. We need to make our brain work for us smartly.
Yes.
And that is something that I want to learn how to be honest.
Oh, you know one thing that my boyfriend introduced me early on in our relationship, and I still do it this day. You know, sometimes when we want to remember so many things and we would write things down, and then out of anxiety, right? And then sometimes when we forget something, we'd be like, ah, you know, I forgot it. I just had it. And then he would, one day we were just talking, and then he forgot about something. I was like, oh. And then he said something very candidly. I was like, oh, I'll leave it to my brain to work on it. I was like, huh? What are you talking about? He was like, no, like when you have something that you want to work on, you can go work on other things and just tell your brain, like process it and tell me when you're done. So so basically he's instructing his brain, like process it. And then he would drop it and then he would do other things. And then 15 minutes later, she's like, oh, it's actually about that. I was like,
interesting.
And it's so effective. So sometimes I would purposely not write something down. I'd be like, Viv, you got this. Brain, you got this. And then sometimes when it doesn't come immediately, I'll just like, okay, take your time. You'll tell me later. And then after, like while I was cooking or washing my toilet or something, it will come up. True. And it's so, like, our brain is so well designed in a way that I feel like we don't give enough power.
You know how I see it? Now that you've used these two examples, I'm aware of certain examples that I've experienced. It's like there were things that I didn't have my phone on me at that point, or I didn't have any pen and paper. So I had to force my brain to think about it. Surprisingly, most times I would forget about it. Yeah. However, when it's time, it would come up again. But that's why I just think in a way I might have micromanaged my own brain. So it's a little bit like at work, when you're so micromanaged, when you try to micromanage a lot of things, maybe of your own, of your team, you would always have a list to make sure you don't forget, right?
Yes.
But then maybe sometimes you just have to let go.
Yes.
Letting go of that, if we really need it to happen, for some reason, it will happen. Because your brain has been subconsciously so working smart on it.
Yes.
So I think it's like letting your brain to work on it is true. But I think there's a doubt in me that what if I forget about it? Fear.
That's fear.
What if I've passed the deadline and then forget about it? However, you can also say maybe it's not urgent enough. That's why you didn't have enough attention for that.
Yeah. And so if you forget about it, you can just
forget about
do it then. Like,
just a different way of seeing things.
I think, I'm not sure if you guys feel the same, but I felt like the past 20, almost 30 years of my life, I'm just holding on to so much, like things should go this way. Like, okay, you graduated, you need to get a job. If you don't get a job, it means you're a failure. And then you know, so many expectations. Yeah. Oh, if you start your business, you have to be a multimillionaire in like 2 years.
Mm. It's like a script that society writes for you and you have to follow that. If you're not following that, something is wrong with you.
In a way, we're all still at the moment in the box.
Yeah.
We are in the box.
We are in the box.
We will hear Mel talk about the box the rest of our lives.
I don't want to be in the box. Yeah. But how can we work on it?
Yes. You know? I think being okay, so let's talk about let's brainstorm ways to live outside the box.
Wait, before we go back to the box, can we fully grasp so Rita, we know that you want to work on your
The
feeling of guilt.
Oh, it's my turn, isn't
your
it?
Your turn. And then we can talk about the box and then we can work on the box together.
All right.
Okay. So I think 2023 I'm done.
What? Oh, she's off for a holiday this week.
Yeah. No, but it's like, okay, I've done enough. Like, I experienced so much. I challenged myself so much. I'm good.
Mm.
And then I think in 2024, I just want to... Surrender is a big word lately. I think since the second half of 2023, I'm just trying to chill.
Mm.
Like, it's very hard for me. And then... I think the more I know myself through therapy, through relationships, I think it's like a part of me never changed, and I like that. And part of me is constantly growing, and I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I think next year I just want to surrender. I just want to experience. I want to be more present. And just see and just focus on things that matter. Like we talked about in the previous relationship. Because I feel like I was living in my head for so long. And I never went out to see, to really see things as they are.
Yeah.
I'm always using a certain lens, and which is huge. It's not just 2023. So I guess I just want to...
What kind of lens can you talk about?
I really
about
like that. More? I like how you put it. Thank I think you. That's such a progress. Honestly, it's such a huge progress in Vivian.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
It's like I always find the negative things in me. In things, in people, in my job, in things I want to do. So for example, I want to do something. I would always talk myself out of it. Okay, you don't have this. You don't have that. And when you're in a... So actually, that's why I enjoy my relationship with my boyfriend now so much, is because he was the person that observes me, and he would be like... And he knows about my family. So I actually told my grandma, I was like, you know, my negative lens, I think it's coming from you.
You have to be blamed.
You might be the person who got me hooked on this.
Yeah. No, I'm not blaming her, but it's like... Yeah. And then I see my dad, I was like, oh, that's my anger issues. I see my mom, I was like, oh.
Yeah. That's why, honestly, we need to talk another time about childhood or parenting.
Yes.
Like, really, like, the more I live, the more I realize how everyone's personality, characters, traits, the way they speak, the way they act... It's all
their lens.
Yes.
But also, I think a lot of, even say like, quote, like bad traits or negative traits, a lot of the time they are stem from childhood trauma or maybe not even childhood, maybe even when they were growing up, traumas in general. Yeah. And it's difficult, not gonna lie, for a lot of people on handling traumas and then overcoming traumas. It's
and
really
also
hard.
I can see how their parents approach life. You can see it in their their response to things as well. Like for me, you can see a lot of my mom's anxiety in me. Sometimes when I overthink and worry too much about things, my partner would be like, you sound a bit like your mom here. So I'm like, oh my god, yeah, be conscious, be mindful, don't get there.
I'm very conscious that I am a mix of my parents, but I'm definitely more like my dad. And even though I really admire my both of my parents, particularly my dad because of his upbringing, I overly admire him, that I think even I turn a blind eye on traits that I don't think is healthy. And I'm now more conscious about it, and I would have probably, and very likely, to be honest, pretty sure that I've picked up some of those traits. But I'm conscious of it. So I want to work on myself and try to, you know, shift away from those traits.
Yeah.
Because I do think every traits of one person is a mirror, right, of what they've gone through. It really is a reflection. So it's a beautiful thing. But how can you make good use of that trait?
Yeah.
And then, you know, become a better version.
Let's brainstorm outside of the box. How can we shift our traits? How can we improve them? Yeah.
I think one is definitely being conscious first to start off with. It's like acknowledging that, oh, it's coming out. You know,
yes.
This is it. And then for you guys, like, do you guys write or do you guys like use color? Do you guys, how do you guys make sense of new realizations?
I'll go first.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Actually, you know, I journal a lot. And when I was in the retreat in Chiang Mai back in July, I was known as the journal girl. Because I would have breakfast, I would just not stop my pen. And then I got a pen as a gift. And then I used up in 2 weeks. That's how much I write. And then again, like my partner said, like, he likes that I journal, I process, but then he also point out that I might be using it as an escape, as a crutch. So again, it's like not trusting your brain to remember things, because I was like, oh, I'm not going to remember this, so I want to process, I want to jot everything down. But then another dear friend of mine, she has been dealing with anxiety for 8 years, and then I shared this problem with her, and she basically asked me, do you ever read your journal? I was like, no, I dump it out and then I just leave it.
Yeah, same.
And she's like, try read it back. And then my current journal, it's like halfway through. It's like a big journal, so it's already halfway through. And I thought it's my year's worth. For the first time I looked at the first page, it's from 1st of October.
So much happened.
2 months I've been dumping out this thing. I read it. They all look similar. And that's when I become mindful. It's like, okay, I feel this, but it's only like 2 days. I feel this, it's only like 3 weeks. So it's like I have a better view now. But if I don't look at it, I would never have that realization.
You know, like one of our friend Amy, the founder of Eve Bliss. There was a time that we hung out, and then she was like, there's this like really good, simple way of structuring our journal. And I honestly have been keeping up with it every day. And as you said, I didn't read my journals out. But then I have been flipping, you know, through the pages. And you're right. A lot of the stuff that I wrote down, they're actually all similar.
Yeah.
They're all very similar stuff. And there are two things that I always encourage myself or give myself that motivation and be like, okay, this is what I want to do today to make today great. And two main things has always been like coming back and forth in my journal. One is stay focused. Like, stay focused today, Mel. Because I realized that life can be very, very chaotic, and especially with the nature of my job, with the industry and the taxi industry, I face a lot of drivers, a lot of people every day. And honestly, stay focused, Mel. Just, you know, be present and stay focused and don't get distracted, because there's so many tasks and you need to be focused. And I realized that just by writing it down and reminding myself of that, it works. But there is another thing that I remind myself a lot is just put a smile on my face. Just put a smile on my face. It would always tend to make my day better. Because when I'm stressed, I tend to have this like resting bitch face, apparently. Apparently I do, even though I don't think I have a bitchy face.
You're adorable.
Thank you. But apparently I have this like really... not very friendly face.
Thinking face. Yeah.
And I was like, if my team look at me not having a very, very friendly face, that actually would affect the morale of the team. So I was like, just put a smile on my face.
like that.
But no, but it works. It works. Mm-hmm.
So journal actually make you be more mindful as well.
Yeah, but I think I need to push myself a little bit more on how can I make good use of my reflection or my juice, my, you know, my journal and my feelings that I put inside.
Yeah. Mm. But how about retail? Like, how do you stay? Because we were talking about how we shift trades.
Yeah.
And then we're brainstorming like outside of the box ideas. So
what do we do? But I want to respond to how we make sense of our thoughts and stuff. I did journaling before, but I feel like I don't as much anymore. Because I feel like I'm a bit more anxious after overanalyzing some thoughts. Okay. I feel like if I feel it, sit with it, and after some time, if it shrinks and it feels smaller and lighter, I could let it go. So I didn't write it down, overanalyze it, and dwell on it.
Mm.
So I feel like life is a bit lighter and easier that way right now.
Mm-hmm.
I let things lie, let things go, and only if things really bother me, I will then talk to people, talk it out to gain different perspectives, then I can let it go.
Mm.
Yeah, there is like nothing that bothered me so much that I need a vent through journaling. So right now, I feel like these few months, it's pretty easy and light in when I navigate life.
And do you want to keep that feeling like going forward?
Yeah, I think so.
But how do you be more mindful of what you're feeling then?
Mm.
If you're not, what do you mean by letting it slide?
I guess,
or putting less care on it's certain just emotions things. Or
yeah, emotions, probably because I don't have like major incidents that happened. Only hiccups in life where I can actually just let it go and just have a little mindset of things don't go perfectly. You know, sometimes things is what it is and let it be.
And I think it's to do with whether you see that event as something that matters or not, right? So if you think it's not that important, let it go.
Yeah. And if I did my best, I did my part, well, it is what it is. Like for my teaching, my negative thought is always making me feel like, am I a good teacher? Am I articulating myself well? Because I'm using my second language to teach a group of students who has English as their first language. Do they deserve a native speaker? I have all these negative thoughts as a, you know, as a foreigner. So, but then I talked to my psychologist about it. He was like, have you received any negative comment at all?
Have you
been rated pretty badly in your evaluation? Nope. I was like, then let it go. Discard this belief because it's just in your head. It's your insecurity as a foreigner. And also, why do you think you need perfect English to deliver your knowledge or pass your knowledge to another person? I understand you perfectly well. Then that's what language serves. That's the purpose of language. True. And that's done. And why do you hold yourself to a standard of a native speaker? Is that it's not that you can't do it, but is that realistic? Are you going to put so much time and effort to achieve that when it's not necessary to do your job?
And I think it's like what makes you unique is your perspective, is your background.
Yeah.
And so there might be pressure that people will be like, oh, I need to feel like a sense of belonging. I need to blend in. But blending in doesn't mean you have to be like them because you will never be like them.
Exactly.
And you don't need to.
Yeah.
Be like them.
Exactly. So it's just all the negative thoughts. And I think for these things, I would sit with it, process it, and talk to someone about it. Because I need different perspectives. Because I cannot give myself new perspective. You know? And for me to make sense of the world is to get different people to analyze that thing. And put new insights into it. So yeah, that's how I deal with things recently, I think.
I think that's another another element or way how we can potentially explore how we can get out of the box is to do with environment. I think environment is a big thing. It's a big element that we need to consider because most of us, I would say, have a pretty repetitive environment or the environment doesn't really change much. But saying that, I've been thinking where we go, where we put ourselves, we can make the call, but yet we decided to just follow what was set for us. So me going into work, Me coming home, me going to most places in Central Causeway, mainly TST sometimes, for food. And these are the few main like places that I would go. These are the environments that I put myself into. I conditioned myself to go into those places. And you mentioned earlier, right? It's
I felt trapped.
You felt trapped. And I feel that sometimes as well. Actually, when I think about, oh, why am I so tired? It's to do with change of environment, I think. Because I don't change my environment, because I don't change my environment that much, but I secretly really enjoy the change of environment. Like, because you feel like your perspective changes. Like, really, when you go to a different place, you the wind, everything is different. And
But I do think it's it depends on what kind of changes you're looking for. Because when I sign on a new class that I try a sport that I've never done in a long ever or in a long time, like the other day I tried Muay Thai again, and then it already served that
change of environment
for me, because I've never been to that place, I've never it's a new teaching style and it's just something new. I think like incorporating like something new like every week in your life, it doesn't have to, because no one can really just go to another city, just move to another city. That's just not realistic. But then it's like, how do you see changes? For example, I've been playing Ticket to Ride, this board game, for a long time. Let's switch up a new game. So it's, I think it's like things, small things like that, that could
spark that little something new.
Even like you've been drinking Americano for 10 years, like switch it up to old, like it's
that's what I did. I haven't had an Americano for a long time, and I decided to give it a go.
I think
it's planting something new to spark your own happiness.
Yes,
a that is a good way. Stimulations.
Or the thing that I like to go is museums or like exhibitions. Like it's like those visuals, it's so stimulating that you don't see it every day. It's not like Instagram, right? It's not like Netflix and stuff. Like go do something different. And it doesn't have to be expensive. It can be like,
it could be a different route that you take from work to home,
or talking to a stranger at a coffee shop. You know, like those things are so, it's like living. I think I think a lot of us, like, we're in the routine, but we don't find those excitement.
Yeah, it's like hamster running in a wheel, basically.
Sometimes I feel like that, you know, even though I'm not supposed to feel that way, because my day is very different every day. But yet I fall into that thought that, oh, I'm just, it's just another day that's similar.
I wonder what that where that thought comes from. Because we all have that. But then it's not, I don't think that's trying to protect us.
I think it's when I'm tired.
And then you feel trapped?
When I've probably used up my battery for the day.
I think it's when I don't feel challenged and inspired.
For me, it's when I'm tired as well.
Really?
Yeah. I just need a break. Going somewhere, just a break.
So the stimulant, the new stimulant serves as a break. Like what kind of examples other than coffee?
For me, usually is I just grab my laptop and go to a cafe and write different cafes. So I have different food, have different coffee, looking at different people. That is a stimulation for me. Although my task is exactly the same, but the environment makes me feel different.
You're ruining the audio. Okay, fine. But then you feel tired when you go to the same
into my office every single day, 9-10 hours.
That's not tired, is it?
Boredom, probably.
Yeah, bored.
I think boredom sometimes make you tired.
Yeah. It's just feel trapped and stuck in life.
And that would immediately
makes me want to leave that place right away.
And that's why sometimes, like, just take a little break, do something different, go for a quick walk, really helps you to reset your mind.
Speaking of quick walk, I think another thing that I incorporated in my life is instilling stillness. That's what Gary Moody, our guest in season six, introduced. So I just kind of put time aside. It doesn't have to be long. 5 to 10 minutes, sit with yourself. Mm. No music, no podcast, no screen time. Just you looking at something and zone out or feel things.
You zone out pretty often.
That is just so good. Oh, yes. I do zone out quite a lot. I don't know why. It's just my brain processing, I guess.
It's hard for me to find that time to just do nothing. But one thing that I really love recently, because there's a new park that's currently kind of halfway done near my work. And I was like, because I drove past it and I was like, oh, there isn't like, it was not busy at all. So I decided to walk over there one day at lunch. And they have this new playground. They have this new like gym, outdoor gym area for the elderlies. And I was there. I went through all stations. I was all by my own. And then they had like different types of swings for kids as well. Ooh. And I was just like on different swings. And I was swinging so high that I felt like, you know, when you're on the roller coaster, that kind of like.
The G-force. Yeah.
And
G-force.
And I was like, whoa, I love this feeling. It's like I'm doing something exciting.
Oh my God.
So I then went back a little bit more regularly, and I just thought like it's so nice to just that's not necessarily me not doing anything, but it's a new stimulation, as you said.
I was so dizzy the other time I went on a swing. It was like 2 minutes. I was like, oh my God, I cannot, I'm old.
I love it. It's like it's the moment that you try to like bounce off the ground, you go higher, and you need to do the leg work to make it swing higher.
Yeah, I feel like some people who really think they're very they have to be very productive at work, they don't kind of prioritize time like that. But actually, when I talked to my psychologist, I was like, I don't know how to have a hobby that doesn't produce a tangible outcome. I feel like I'm wasting time then. He'll be like, okay, think it that way then. The outcome is doing that activity is going to increase or expand your mental capacity for you to deal with other tasks in life or in daily life. And thinking it that way, it actually makes me prioritize or value this kind of still time or your play time. I know, right? The society ruined us.
100% but I do think that like what we are talking about, it's challenging our so-called routines. I think nowadays there's so many like different trends that would just pop up just because more people made reels out of it. Like the I think maybe last year, like people were the 5 a.m. wake up club. Breakfast club?
Oh yeah, 5 a.m. Yeah, the 5 running. Morning club or something. The 5 a.m. club? Yeah.
Yeah, but then nobody talks about that after maybe a year in, you get bored of it and you need to change that routine. And I think it's like, don't be so rigid about how you should be. I think it's just be flexible and just be open to whatever you're feeling. Just do things that make you feel good.
Do things that fit for you.
Change where... and when is right. It's like us, we're trying different things. We actually, people might not know, but we have kind of restructured our way how we want UE to operate. We've actually changed a couple of times. Just because it was not working. Even though we planned it so well, we're like, okay, this is the way we're gonna so many calls between lunch breaks at work, after work, over weekends, over holidays. We try to make things work, but then when things are not working well, you gotta change. I think it's being able to adapt and ultimately is what feeds our health and our body and what makes us or what can change us allow us to live better.
I think that looks different for everyone as well. I feel
at
like
every stage.
Exactly. And I feel like society kind of put forward a certain image. For example, like 5 a.m. club, they glorify morning person, but it's not for everyone. I would say really it's not. And you have to try it out. If it's not for you, don't think that you are not the successful population, you know? 5 a.m. morning person doesn't mean they are successful, you know? It's just work for them. We have to kind of unlabel that label, you know?
Exactly. So new stimulation it is that I think we would all appreciate.
Or I think it's really trying, you know, the lens just like zoom in when you need to. It's like, okay, you feel trapped, but do you realize the small things in life that you're missing out sometimes? And sometimes when, you know, small fights come,
zoom out. Exactly. It's like true, adjust that true, lens
true, yeah,
response time.
And I really do think that a lot of the time, because our lives are so full on, that we don't pay attention to small things.
Yeah.
Beautiful yeah, things. The other day, my friend bumped into me right outside of my office. And then he was like, oh my God, my studio is right above your office. But for some reason, I just never even looked at my office.
Mm.
Like my office was, the entrance was not small. Mm. And then his studio is just right next to and above my office. And he wow, was like, how could I not see it? And that just reminded me of how...
Live like a dog.
We're just not present sometimes.
No. Yeah.
We want to be present. We always say that, oh, I want to be present. I'm trying to be present. I have been present. But are we able to be present most of the time? Or at least can we try to elongate that period of that
mindfulness?
Yeah. You know?
Mm.
Beautifully said.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's put all of our goals. I mean, there were only a few because we want quality, not quantity for 2024.
Yes.
Sure. We're going to write it down and then so we can help each other to, maybe we can check in on each other.
Mm.
You know, next time and just say, how are the progress? Share the progress. Yeah, exactly. And hopefully you all enjoyed this episode because
we did.
Yes, we did. And we hope that you all would have enjoyed it as much as we did.
Yeah. And I'm quite keen to have this kind of episode for every year, like at the end of every year to have a little reflective session. Mm-hmm. It'd be really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, 2023.
Bye. 2023.
Don't drop it.
Mic drop bracket.